of Stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. So it's Friday night. We're doing another Q&A. So we're going to jump into this. We're going to talk about the coolest website in the detailing industry, which is, of course, thedetailsolutionspodcast.com. And it's cool because it's mine. You know, it's ours. It's going to have all the links to where you can find the show, social media, Apple, Spotify. And then we have our wonderful preferred vendors page, and that is going to be where you're going to find everything that you need for the detailing industry. Pretty much no matter what you're looking for, websites, comfortable chairs, chemicals, towels, all that stuff, you're going to be able to find it there. We give you a discount code and a link directly to said website. So if you're looking for towels, you want to go to Autofiber, you get the code, you click the link, takes you right to Autofiber, you order up some towels, use the code, you're going to spend some money with our vendors, they're going to save you some money, we're going to bring you the funny, hashtag money, money, funny. And then we have the merch store, which is going to have all the logo t-shirts, the Concaster shirt, hoodies, the hats, and the soon-to-be, as you guys might have seen it in the discussion group, the teaser, the, I don't know if I'm going to call it the Kong Elvis shirt or the King Elvis shirt. I don't know. We're going to figure something, Elvis and Kong. If you haven't seen it, go check out the discussion group. We leaked the rough draft of what the SEMA shirt is going to look like. And that will be on the merch store exclusively. So you won't have to hit me up. You'll just be able to go on there when it's ready. Again, we're putting these on YouTube still. I'm not streaming every single one, but we are uploading the videos. So if you'd like to watch these, go to YouTube and check out the Detail Solutions Podcast. That is our channel. Please go give it a like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button. So if you do prefer watching stuff on YouTube, you can watch it there. TikTok, we're getting closer to that 1,000. We're at about 130 something or 830 something now. So once we get to that 1,000, we can start going live. I'd love for you guys to get us there before SEMA so I can go live at SEMA. I think that would be really fun. We can also stream these the Wednesday night episodes when we do it to Facebook and YouTube. We can also stream it to TikTok, which would be nice. So go follow us on TikTok. It's the Detail Solutions Pod. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please shoot me an email, detailsolutionspodcast@gmail.com. Just say, hey, Alex, would love to be on the show, and we'll get you set up. That makes my job a whole lot easier so I don't have to run around reaching out to people. So, and then please, wherever you're listening to us, make sure that you go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button. And please leave us a review on Spotify, hit that 5 stars, Apple, hit the 5 stars and write us something fun. You know, it'd be nice to actually read your guys' reviews. I do get the notification when somebody leaves one. So, always, makes my day. So let's go ahead and knock out this first commercial break, and then I'll be back with Pete Mueller, who wants to tent the world. That's what this That's what this episode's going to be titled. So we'll be right back. Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads. Towels, got them. Windows, wheels, interiors, paint. The all-new mitt on a stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new bug sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two-bucket system. Glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube. Check out our channel. And in the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And then the new wheel paw for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced five-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
All right, we're back with Pete. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you, Alex?
I'm doing great. So most people probably don't know you who listen to my podcast because you're not a traditional detailer. So give us a little who's Pete? You know, what do you do? Where are you from kind of thing?
Yeah. So I'm like you, I live here in Orlando, Florida. I'm probably rare in that I'm a native Floridian. I don't know about yourself.
I am born and raised in Miami, or well, born in Miami and then moved up here. Yeah.
So. I'm also from South Florida.
Nice.
Born and raised in West Palm Beach and ended up settling in Orlando. Been here since 2005 now.
Okay.
So it's been a while. And I am, like you mentioned, not a traditional detailer, as in I didn't get into this industry the typical way. I own Tint World Orlando. We have three locations. And I got into this industry when I was 14 years old in 1998. As a working at car stereo shops. When I was 14 years old, I knew that I loved cars and I loved audio and sound systems and everything that had to do with them. And so I got into doing car stereo stuff, which then led to a full-time job by the time I was 16. And then led to from working in car stereo shops to then going and working on the manufacturing side of the industry, working for different manufacturers. So by the time I was 18, I was actually the Southeastern Regional for Kenwood.
Oh, wow.
And so that was when I started traveling pretty much full time, 300 days a year. I was on the road visiting hundreds of shops all over the Southeastern United States. And during that time, that was when I learned that there was a lot more to do in shops like this than just car stereos.
Right.
And I learned a lot about this industry at a really young age. I'm now 39, so I've been in this industry for like 25 years, I think, is where I'm at this point. And so a little bit untraditional, but it working for Kenwood and then going on to work for other manufacturers as the years went on, I not only covered the Southeast, I then went into national positions and then international, where I was covering accounts in Australia and doing things in Asia and all over the place. And I was working in just automotive customization shops that did everything you could ever add on to a car. Right. From obviously car stereo, which is what started me in this world, but then everything from window tint to paint protection film to detailing and ceramic coatings, and everything kind of just expanded as the years went on. And then in 2016, while I was the national sales manager for Audiovox, I had a team of 20-something salespeople that worked for me covering all of North America, and I had a couple international people. And during that time, again, I'm working with all these shops all over the place, and I've known the ins and outs of operating shops. I set up a deal between Tint World, which is a nationwide franchise. At the time, they had maybe 30 stores. And I set up that deal between Tint World and Audiovox. And I'm having that conversation with them as I'm setting all that up back in, it would have been 2015 at the time, actually, when I was doing that. And I said, how come you guys don't have any stores in Orlando? And they said to me, well, nobody's ever wanted to open one. And I was like, So that was 2015, and like September of 2015. By March, we were signing a lease on a building here in the Orlando area, which was our first location. And my thought was, I can open up a Tint World and still stay at Audiovox. But being the type of person that I am, the hands-on person that I am, that didn't last very long.
Yeah, I could see that.
So for 6 months, I juggled both. I opened up the first Tint World location here in the Orlando area in 2016, and tried to do both for a little bit, and quickly realized that I just couldn't do it. I needed to be in my store. I needed to be hands-on. I needed to be doing things every day.
Right.
That was what led to me leaving the corporate world permanently to focus on my business. And now we have three stores here. And since then, I've purchased two additional Tint World licenses. And our plan right now is to get two more open within the next year and a half or so, to have five total stores. Wow. Here in the very near future.
That's awesome, man. You know, a lot of my listeners probably don't know this about me, but I was once a stereo head in my former life. I had a little 93 Civic, and this was like 94, 95 or whatever. I had a buddy who worked at stereo shop in Lake County, and he was just building the regular boxes. He wasn't doing any custom work, and he wanted to do custom work. He was like trying to prove himself to the owner that he could do like some badass custom work, right? But the owner was like, no, you just, you know, do like kind of like the prefab stuff, you know? So he made me a deal. He's like, look, man, he's like, I want to build you a badass stereo system, and I'll do it for free. You just buy the stuff. So I was like, done deal, right?
That's a great deal.
Yeah. So, man, we built out my car, and it was cool because because everybody was wrapping in carpet back in the day. And he told me, he goes, hey man, I've seen people starting to do vinyl, like the leather, like vinyl stuff or whatever. He's like, we're going to do
back
that.
In the day, the big thing was tweed. I don't know if you remember that material.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
He wanted to wrap everything in tweed back then.
Yeah. And then we ran a JL audio system. So he's like, we're going to cut out.
We're a big JL audio dealer. That's one of my favorite brands.
Nice. He's like, so we're going to cut out the JL Audio logo, and we're going to in cardboard, we're going to put it down on the wood. We're going to wrap the vinyl over it, so it has like a raised logo. Right. And I'm like, yeah, dude, let's do it. You know, like, and it was pretty cool, man, the way he built it. We did 212s clamshelled. He used the wheel well as the box built. We built a false floor. So we used the wheel well as the box. We put some polyfill in there, clamshelled the speakers. And then what was cool, his idea was, he goes, we're going to make this stealth So what he did was he actually cut out on the thin like material that you would have for that floor in the you know, that goes over the wheel well, mm-hmm. that like cardboardy type, you know, material or whatever. He cut that out and then rewrapped it in the carpet material that would normally be in there. So we put those over the false floor that was wrapped in the vinyl, and then we would put the spare tire over the top of the speaker sticking up out of it, right? So you open we go to car shows and we'd be in the line, or the stereo, the competitions, right? And we'd be in line with the hood open, and people would walk by and be like, I don't know what he's in line for. He ain't getting nothing, you know, whatever. And then we get up to the judges and we start pulling everything out, and everybody's like, holy shit. You know, we had the amps and everything under plexiglass. We had, nice.
Like sound quality or what?
We went straight sound quality versus bass.
That was my world as well. Like, yeah. One of the certificates that's on display in each of my stores is my IASCA sound quality judge certificate. Yeah. 2001, which I mean, at that time in 2001, I would have been 17 years old. So that was my world for the long time. I mean, I started judging sound quality events all over Florida.
Oh, nice.
I barely had a driver's license. I was 16 years old. And I remember when I first, as soon as I got my driver's license, which was on my 16th birthday, which was March 1st, and 20 days later was a show that you probably have heard of if you've been in this world at all, is Spring Break Nationals, which was huge up in the Daytona Beach area.
Oh, yeah.
So in 2001, it was either 2000 or 2001, I had been 16 for all of 20 days. I told my parents that I was going to Daytona Beach for 3 or 4 days, and I was taking off of high school. I was in 10th grade. And I said, I got a hotel in Daytona. I'm going to meet some friends. I'll see you guys in a few days. And I left at 16 years old and 20 days.
Right.
To come up to Daytona Beach. And that was like my first massive, huge car stereo show.
Yeah.
At that point. Prior to that, I had just gone to smaller events, you know, where you would see 15, 20 cars. And even then, I absolutely just loved everything about that stuff. But when I went to Spring Break Nationals and saw that for the first time, I was there and I said, I want to be in this world. I want to do this for the rest of my life. And this is all I've ever done.
Yeah. No, yeah, we definitely went for sound quality. And it's funny because when we would have to do the, you know, the bass, we'd have to turn everything down in the bass all the way up. And I think we only, you know, we were doing, what is it? The USAC shows.
Yeah. There was a ton of those, at least in South Florida.
No,
USAC was more in like the Midwest during that time.
Yeah. We went to like Gainesville and I think like Fort Myers. And I think we did a couple in Orlando. But it was funny, you know, like it was on the dash. So like, it wasn't like IASCA or ISAC or whatever, where it's, you know, where it's, where it's off, you know, like they put it in the center of the car, the mic in the center of the car. So like on the dash, I think the most I ever did was like 120 dBs or whatever, like full bass.
In sound quality competition, they would require your system to be able to reach like 130 dB in order to get all of the points that you would get, which
and we were like barely getting that. But the cool thing that I always thought was, we went to this one show in Fort Myers, and it was like on a Saturday, and Friday night I had 2 3-inch tweeters behind the center air conditioning vent, and they blew. And we couldn't replace them. So we go down there and we're like, shoot, like, you know, whatever. And they were complimenting us how good the center channel was. And I looked at my buddy who did the stereo system and I was like, did you somehow put speakers back there without me knowing? He goes, no. And I'm like,
that's a good compliment then.
Yeah. I was like, well, we're doing something right. You know?
So. Yeah. I mean, when you can get somebody in the car and they believe you have a center channel when you don't, you You're doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. He was pretty cool, man. Like, you know, those old Civics, they had like the molded armrest and the backseat panel thing or whatever.
Those were the most fun vehicles to customize. Yeah. My first car was an 88 Honda CRX.
Oh, nice.
That was what I built up for sound quality competition, which interestingly enough, over at my Longwood store right now is a 1988 Honda CRX that I bought because I decided that I want to build a system in a vehicle identical to my first car, but nice. I want to do it the right way, the way that I can afford to do it now, which I couldn't afford to do it that way when I was 16 years old.
Right, right. Yeah, my buddy was pretty forward thinking back then. I mean, he took that armrest and he goes, I'm going to cut this and put your 6-disc CD changer there so it's hidden. And I'm like, you're going to do what to my car? You know? And he's like, don't worry about it, man. It'll be all right.
Nice.
But it was awesome because you could reach back behind the driver's seat and like pull the cartridge out while you're driving and like change out discs and put it back in and everything.
Later the factory starts doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's funny you talk about a CRX because at the time I had a buddy who had a CRX and he built a massive wall. I think he had like, I forget. He had like a buttload of tens in the back.
That was one of those cars that everybody bought them for SPL did SPL competition because it was such a small cabin. It was such a small vehicle that had this massive hatch to just all kinds of stuff. And I bought it and everybody used to say, you've got an SPL car that you've made into a sound quality car.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because because then he couldn't see out the back. So like in order for him to change lanes, he would kind of just have to merge over. And if you heard a horn honk, he'd like come back into his own lane or whatever because of it.
That's funny.
That was some of the, you know, I had a lot of fun with that. I wish I would have stuck around with it a little bit longer. But I ended up getting rid of that car. I got turned on to speed at that point. I traded that car in for a Turbo Eclipse.
Nice.
And then stereo didn't really matter to me anymore. I just, you know, Ricky Bobby, I want to go fast, you know, kind of thing. But I will say, like, you know, my kind of, you know, proud moment of it was we only did like 3 or 4 competitions here in Florida that year that I did it, and we had gained enough points to be invited to go out to the nationals in Texas, which I couldn't really afford to do at that, you know, I was early 20s or whatever at that time, and I couldn't afford to do that. But I still think that was a pretty cool thing, you know, that I in a short amount of, you know, competitions we had won enough and gained enough points to get invited to that. It was pretty fun.
That is cool. Yeah, those were fun times. I mean, that stuff just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, anybody that wants to go to any competition can go. I mean, the final, where you're talking about where you were invited to finals based on the number of points you have, that just doesn't exist anymore. I mean, nowadays, everybody that wants to go to finals can go to finals because there might be 10 or 20 cars there. I mean, it's just not the same thing anymore. And I've always wanted to. I think you know how many car events and car shows that I do here in Central Florida, and none of it is what I grew up doing, which was car stereo shows. But I've always wanted to bring that back. I just haven't figured out a way to do that yet.
How to do it? Yeah, that would be cool because I've seen a lot of. I mean, you know, back at that time. I mean, now it's probably. You know, not as crazy, but back then, you know, it was almost like every show somebody was breaking a world DB record. Yeah. You know,
still so new and exciting, and I mean, car audio during that era was a completely new thing. I mean, prior to all these car audio brands coming out, everything was just home audio. People were home audio equipment and putting it in their cars.
Right, so exactly.
We were part of something in, you know, in the 90s that was brand new and you know, carrying into the early 2000s that was new and exciting. And nowadays, most of the people that were into that are a lot older now, and they have other priorities in life. And kids these days are not into it the way that we were.
Yeah.
You know, owning and operating shops that do lots of car stereo installs still every day, our typical demographic for car stereo stuff is not kids. It's people that are older that, like I mentioned, how I want to rebuild a Honda CRX.
It's a nostalgia thing for them.
I see people every day in our stores. These guys might be in their 50s and even 60s where they're like, you know, I grew up doing this stuff and now I've got some money and now I want to do it the right way. And I really want to spend some money on this new car, which as you see, I've got a couple cars behind me.
Yeah.
And you mentioned how your system was totally stealth. I mean, a lot of that is what we more commonly do is with the vehicles that we work on when we're working on Lamborghinis, Porsches, Ferraris. I mean, we're doing audio systems in extremely high-end cars. Everybody wants everything to be as stealth as possible.
Right.
And so that's really what our goal is to make it to where you get in the car and you don't know that there's any audio system in it. But when you want to crank it up and listen to it, you're like, wow, this sounds really good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think, like you said, like the kids today, like that are maybe doing it too, there's not a lot of like, you know, thought or ingenuity put behind it. I mean, I remember these guys down in South Florida, and I forget what their store was called or whatever, but they had a hearse, you know, and like they went like the full on theme with it, you know, like they're, you know, they had like a 6 batteries or whatever to be able to run the system in the car, right? So they put the battery box was made to look like a coffin, you know, in the car, you know, and they did things like, you know, there was some thought behind it and there was some themes and things like that.
Creativity. And yeah, it was always a big thing too. All those extra creativity points that you could get.
Right. Yeah. You know, I remember one guy is like, his name was Freddy. So they called him Freddy Krueger because he was like always beating everybody at competition. So he had like the Freddy Krueger glove, like on, you know, up on the dashboard and everything. And, you know, had the truck kind of themed out to like Freddy Krueger. And, you know, and you get in there, you know, and the bass hits and, you know, your hairs on your arms are standing up, you know, and, you know, that I know they do that now, but it seems like now it's so much louder and more crazy than it was then that it's almost kind of like, how can you even do that? You know, you get in there and it's just like vibrating your chest. You feel like you're having a heart attack.
Like the dominating groups that actually still have like what we would call car audio shows are not the same types of people or the same demographic or even the same type of systems that you and I would have been doing back then.
I mean,
it's all about bullet tweeters and just it's a lot of a very, very cheap product that sounds absolutely horrible.
Right.
And everybody just they want to be able to put as many speakers in a door as they possibly can. They don't give a crap what it looks like. And they go to shows and show it off, and they think it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And that I mean, at this shop that I'm in right now, we actually have a shop right next door to us. Literally, I mean, we are a big car stereo shop ourselves.
Uh huh.
But bordering that wall behind me is another car stereo shop that does that type of work. Which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's what their specialty is, which is let's put as many speakers in a door as we possibly can. And I actually love having them right next door to me because anytime someone comes in here that asks for that sort of thing, I can say that's not really what we do.
Yeah.
But if you go next door, they'll take great care of you. And vice versa, if somebody shows up next door randomly with a complex vehicle, say, like one of our big things that we've become known for is electric vehicles. We've learned the ins and outs of every electric vehicle out there. We do a lot of customizations on Teslas because we've learned to understand them. So if a Tesla shows up next door, they're going to be like, go see Tint World. They're right next door. So it's very complimentary.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Because usually, and was that place there before you got there or vice versa? Because I mean, usually you wouldn't like.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect that sort of thing. And I actually, so I'll tell you what the history is there. So this shop that I'm in used to be called Time and Sound.
Okay.
Time and Sound was established here in Orlando in 1982. And the owners of Time and Sound, they were getting to be in their 70s. They were ready to retire. And I bought Time and Sound and I turned it into Tint World after a year-long renovation, because obviously this place doesn't look like it was built in 1982.
Right.
It was a massive, I mean, I spent probably $300,000 just in build out alone of just demolishing everything inside and rebuilding the interior of the place.
Wow.
And it took almost a full year to do it, but the building hadn't been renovated since 1982. And even though Time and Sound had been here, that shop moved in next door to Time and Sound, and it was a similar thing. Time and Sound carried all the same brands that I carry. They carried JL Audio, Kenwood, Pioneer, high-end audio brands.
Right.
And then they had the shop next door that was carrying more of the let's just make it as loud as we possibly can type brands. And it was Time and Sound didn't really get along with them, but I don't think anybody really tried. When I came in, I went and introduced myself to the guys next door, and we became friends almost instantly. And I said, you know, I think that there's, even though I bought Time and Sound and those guys and you guys didn't seem to get along, I go, I think that we could actually work really well together. And that's exactly what it's been. I mean, we help each other out with things all the time because we are two completely different types of shops, even though we kind of do the same thing.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool, because especially to hear something like that, right? Because in this day, you know, that's what I hear a lot, you know, talking to detailers is like, oh, you know, there's another guy that just moved into town. There's another guy that just moved down the street. And like, you know, it's to me, I'm always kind of like, who cares? Like, you know, what type of person are they versus what type of person are, or not even person, but what type of shop are they versus what, you know, like, are they a super high-end shop? You know, or are you the super high-end shop? Are they just a turn them and burn them? Or are you a turn them and burn them, a production shop, production, you know, whatever.
Even still, so, I mean, look at how many, like, just go out on a busy road like what we have out here. I mean, this is East Colonial, one of the
busiest roads. You can never do as many cars as.
Go out there and just look at how many cars there are.
Like, right.
That's one of the things that getting into the detailing world and the detailing industry, I will say that there is so much camaraderie in the car stereo industry. And the detailing industry, there is a lot of that, but there is still so much of, I don't want to talk to him because he's my competition.
Yeah.
Or I want to be the only guy in town selling this product or this brand of coating or whatever it might be. There's still so much of that.
Oh, and
it's just, I think that it doesn't benefit anybody when people have that type of mentality.
Right.
I think that everybody should be friends. I think that there's enough work for everybody. At the end of the day, even when it comes to brands, to say, you know, I want to be the only guy in this area that uses this coating or the, you know, this type of ceramic coating.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I want more people selling the coating that I have because it creates more brand recognition.
Exactly. And that's what I wish more detailers would understand, you know, especially, you know, here comes the Aquatech plug. you know, especially working with Aquatech, like that's one of the things that people, you know, one of the questions people ask is like, well, what are your territorial things? And I'm like, look, right now we're too new to be doing territorial, because what if I give you territory and you're only buying, you know, a couple of bottles every other month, and there's a guy down, you know, across town or in your neighborhood or whatever wants to come on and they're going to buy, you know, 18 bottles, you know, a week or whatever, you know, like what's going to make more business sense for me. Right. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like to me, that's, I think having it more of creates a buzz, you know, and these guys, and
I've seen that from everything from the tinting and films industry. You know, with like Expel, for example, we do a lot of Expel product at my stores. And originally when we came on with Expel, we were like one of two Expel installers, like anywhere within like a 50-mile radius. I mean, now you go on the Expel website and there's dozens of them throughout the Central Florida area. And that, you know, that opened it up to where people were coming in and asking for Expel by name, which is great. And similar with, you know, for ceramic coatings, I like the G-Technique product. That's what I've used since I started, back in 2016. That was the very first ceramic coating that I brought in that I wanted to use right away. And, you know, still to this day, use that product. But originally, there was just two of us, like, in the entire area doing it. And right. Now, again, in the Orlando area, there's probably a dozen installers of it, maybe even more at this point. And I think that that's awesome. And I think that the more people that are carrying these brands and advertising these brands, all it's going to do is make it easier for every single one of us to sell those products.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, listen, let's jump into a commercial break right there. And then when we come back, we'll dive a little bit more into detailing and how you do that with your stores and things like that. So we'll be right back.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
Okay, so it's what, 2015, you said, when you did the first Tent World?
Yeah, 2015 was when I signed the agreement with them and decided, all right, I'm going to go ahead and open one of these things. And then it was 2016 when we actually got our first store up and running. Okay. So we're talking 7.5 years at this point.
So it's 2016. You've got Tent World open. When did you decide to bring in detailing to it?
It was within that first year.
Okay.
It wasn't immediate. I initially, when we first opened up, I wanted to focus on what I knew the best, and that was car audio.
Right.
Even though the shop was called Tent World, I was like, I'm a car stereo guy. This is what I know. And I hired a general manager of my store who was also a 20-year veteran of the car audio industry. And I was like, we're going to do that. So when we first opened, I mean, our bread and butter that was keeping that store operating was car stereo work.
Okay.
But very quickly, within the first 6 months, I realized, you know what, there's a lot more profit to be made in a lot of these other categories. And car stereo is actually the lowest profit category of anything that we do in this industry. So once I started to realize that and I stopped focusing on what was truly just like a passion type thing. And I started to realize, you know what, this, you know, to really grow this business, I need to focus on the other product categories a little more. That was when I learned a lot more about everything else. And so in early 2017, I flew out to Texas and I got Expel certified and did the full Expel training myself. And I brought my store manager out there with me as well, who he was a 20-year car stereo installer. And both of us learned how to do Expel PPF and all of that. And now I don't do much hands-on PPF at all these days, but he still does almost every single day. And even though I have five people that install PPF on a daily basis, he is the best PPF installer. And not just mine, but I believe that he's one of the best in Central Florida, because he can truly take a vehicle. I mean, and the most complex cars imaginable and make it look like there's nothing on them at all.
Right.
Which it takes a long time to get to that level. And so whenever we have the most complex cars or a true custom install that doesn't involve any computer cut patterns where everything is being done by hand, he is the one that does those every single time. So that, you know, that kind of just transitions into detailing as well. I mean, when you start doing PPF, you have to detail a car in order to be putting PPF on it. And
well, I mean, that's the argument in the PPF world, right? To detail or not to detail. I mean, if you're just putting film over it, it's going to hide it anyways. I mean,
if you're just doing a front end it definitely can hide some things, if you're doing the entire car and it's a new car.
Yeah.
But, I mean, once you've got that film on there, then there's no going back.
Yeah, exactly. So when you decided, hey, like, you know, we should start offering detailing as another, you know, revenue of funds and everything like that, did you go hands on with that too, or did you start looking into outside, you know, help or forces or whatever to come in and kind of take that for you or help you do that?
Initially, my first focus was PPF. And that was what I wanted to do myself. And I wanted us to get good at it. Detailing was still secondary. And initially I found a good mobile detailer here in Orlando, and I had him, and he would come and he would just detail. He was phenomenal at paint corrections, and he was the first G Technique detailer in Central Florida.
Okay.
And he was one of their original detailers, and still he still has his detailing company as well. He's a good friend still to this day, because he introduced me to the detailing world, and I learned a ton from him. And that was, you know, while working with him, it was when he introduced me to the people at G Technique, Eric and the guys that came into Orlando. We went out to dinner, and that was when Eric started saying, "You have so much more volume than what you can just. You can't just rely on a mobile detailer to do everything that you need to do."
Right.
I know, and he was like, "That's your bottleneck right there," and I'm like, "I know." So Eric was like, "Let me help you bring detailing in-house. Let me teach you what to do." And so I learned a lot from Eric during that time period, when we wanted to grow beyond just doing Expel PPF and start offering detailing ourselves and not outsourcing it.
Right.
So I learned a lot from Eric, and that was when I went and got G Technique accredited myself. And did everything to learn the ins and outs of it. And then I hired an in-house team, and we just continued to grow from there. And now we have that team operating in three locations.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, Eric's a good guy. I mean, he definitely, he's smarter than he looks, you know?
Well, he and I both had similar backgrounds in that we were both salespeople.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of years working in sales and traveling, and he did as well. And we both had that same kind of thing where we hit it off. And so he was a big help to me entering the whole detailing side of things. And, it was probably not the traditional way that most Tint World stores typically operate, because as you might know, Tint World has their own line of detailing chemicals and products as well.
Right.
And, I tended to do things a little bit differently, just because even on the car audio side, I had brought in brands that were ones that I was familiar with. So similarly, I brought in some film brands as well as some ceramic coating brands and detailing brands that were products that I had become familiar with that I liked working with.
Right. And Tint World doesn't have like an issue with you kind of, you know, doing something different than maybe like their franchise structured, you know, got to do this, got to use that, got to sell that.
No, I mean, they want us to be able to offer all of their stuff, but they don't really mind as long as your stores are successful. And last year we got franchisee of the year of, I mean, there's 150 stores. Nice. And right here in Orlando, we managed to get franchisee of the year. I don't know how, but we did. that was something that I was really proud of, because we do things a little bit differently. We don't only offer Tint World products and services. We offer options. You know, I'm all about offering people different things and giving people whatever they prefer. And that's probably, not only since we're doing Q&A, I mean, there's probably a lot of detailers that just have questions about Tint World. I think that a lot of detailers, a lot of window tinters, and even car stereo shops, that like independent shops out there, they don't know exactly what Tint World is. They look at it as this, you know, competition, or yeah. They might even look at it as a lot of, they might say, you know, well, that's a franchise, so those people must not know what they're doing, because they're buying a franchise and being, you know, and being told what to do. Which I could say is not quite the case. Yes, there are some franchises that some Tint World locations that is exactly what it is. But there's a lot of independent shops that are the same way. I mean, I would say that at the end of the day, there are great independent shops out there that do amazing work, but there are great Tint World shops out there that do equally as amazing work with whether they're using in-house Tint World brands and products, or they're doing what I do, where they chose some other products to offer as well. And it ultimately comes down to the team that you have. I mean,
right.
I don't have entry level, we're not a production shop in the way that we bring in $12 an hour kids to work on cars. I would say that the majority of our team is making around, even our least experienced people are making close to $100,000 a year. Everybody that works for me is paid very, very well. And the reason for that is because they're good at what they do.
Yeah, I'm going to come fill out an application tomorrow. no, but you're kind of right. I mean, like, not, not every McDonald's you go to does everything the same way, right? I mean, like, yeah, there's
quality is going to vary.
Right. There's two McDonald's, that are very close to me, and I go to one, and like, it's very efficient. Like, I mean, there's hardly ever a line, you zip in, you zip out, everybody's cool. I go to the other one that's closer to my shop, and like, I'll be one time I was the only car in line, and I just like went there to get a soda, and like, I waited like 10 minutes. I'm like, 10 yeah. minutes for a soda? Like, are you kidding
exactly.
me?
I mean, I order, so I eat Jersey Mike's for lunch almost every single day. And I'm in one of my three stores almost every single day when I order that on DoorDash or Uber Eats or whatever. And depending on which store I'm at, I know what the quality of that sandwich is going
it's
to
gonna
be.
Yeah. Yeah. Because,
depending on where you're at. I mean, right. the Jersey Mike's location over near the Longwood store is always perfect. Okay. When I order it here, they screw it up every single time.
But that's the thing. I mean, it really comes from who's actually running it, right? I mean, I don't want to say this like that anybody can, but a lot of times anybody can get into a franchise, right? I mean, all you have to do is have the money, and have the you know, the whatever, right? Like it's
I mean, at the end of the day, anybody can open up a business doing anything. And
right.
Using the food analogy, I mean, you can go to just like how you can go to different food franchises and get different quality and different yeah. results. You can go to three different local steakhouses and, you know, that would be the independent and yeah. get completely different results at each right. one. And, you know, you've got the independent restaurant that opens up that doesn't make it a year because they just suck.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And, you know, it's the same scenario. I mean, Tint World, if you have a passion for this and you want to do this, Tint World can take someone that doesn't know a whole lot about it and help them and give them the tools to get started probably better than if they're doing it on their own.
Yeah.
And at least give them the marketing support and the brand support to get business immediately.
Right, right.
Whereas if you're doing it completely on your own, it's going to be a little while before you have customers that are actually coming in your door. And similarly, if you're doing it completely on your own, it doesn't mean that you're good at it right away. I mean, how you have, I know you have a lot of detailers that come on this show, probably at varying stages of their career, that have people that have just started doing it that are young, that have a ton of stuff to learn. And that's going to be similar to, you know, potentially a new franchisee within Tint World. Right. And then you've got your detailers like yourself that are seasoned, that have been doing this a really long time, that know the ins and outs of it. And, you know, that's going to be your more seasoned Tint World store as well. But the main difference, like I said, is that even a new Tint World store is still going to have a lot more support and a lot more operational knowledge. Just because of the back end within Tint World, they have an operations team that goes around and visits stores. I pretty much don't really have them come into my stores that often. I just, we like to do our own thing, but
yeah. Well, when you win franchisee of the year, like you can stay away, right? Like, yeah,
I don't need anyone coming in and telling us how to do things, but
yeah, exactly. As long as you're successful, you're doing something right, right?
Exactly. And that's really, I mean, and Tint World is perfectly okay with that. I mean, they let us do our thing, and they support me as much as I want them to. Like, really? For example, I just recently acquired the Melbourne Tint World location, which was our third store. Melbourne had been up and running for a year before I bought it. I kind of bought the rights to the Orlando market by buying multiple franchise licenses here. And the next closest market was Melbourne, where somebody opened up that store. And they had it for almost a year when they decided that it just wasn't their thing. Mm-hmm. And they were ready to exit. So I went ahead and I purchased that franchise because it was only an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And I was able to buy it for a decent price. I mean, it was probably about half what it costs to open a brand new store from beginning to end.
Okay.
Which I mean, and I'll be completely transparent about numbers. I mean, opening a Tint World is about $400,000 usually on average. So I was able to pick that store up for only around $250,000, which was, I mean, compared to the new store that I'm working on in Claremont, I was like $250,000, have a store that's already up and running, already has some employees. To me, it was like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and buy that store. And even though it had owners that weren't from this world and I guess ultimately just had other passions, they I work 100 hours a week. This is all I do. So wow. I mean, that's why it's, you know, 9 o'clock at night on a Friday and I'm in my shop right now.
Yeah.
with 2 days notice from you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because this is what I do. Day in and day out. It's all I do.
Yeah.
I'm either with my family, which it's hard to be with them sometimes because I work so much, but I pretty much give this everything that I can, and I give it all of my devotion and attention day in and day out. So whatever issues they were having in Melbourne, I looked at it and I was like, all right, they just need someone that will give it the attention that I can give it, and this right. is going to immediately turn around.
No, that's awesome. Well, listen, let's take our last commercial break and then we'll come back and start wrapping this up. We'll be right back.
Tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
You know, a lot of guys were generally trying out going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Get in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah.
So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name is Alan Medcraft, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and check out. Use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper's giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
All right, Pete. So this is the part of the podcast where I actually do have questions for you.
Okay.
So these are my three closeout questions. They're pretty fun, but it's definitely a put you on your spot kind of deal. So the first one is, when did you realize your worth? You know, and typically I'm asking detailers that because, you know, that a lot of us in the beginning, we start out and we're doing $200 details that take us like 4 days to do. And we're like, I'm worth more than this, damn it. And we have to raise our prices and things like that. Or you get a little bit of respect in the industry, a little noticeable, and you're like, holy shit. Like, you know, so what was it for you that you had kind of like that aha moment? You realized that you were worth everything that you are.
I'm still waiting to have that moment, I think. I don't know. I mean, if I do the math for the number of hours that I put in every week, I think I am definitely the lowest paid employee at any of my stores.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You should be, right? Like that's how they say it. Everybody should be making more money than you.
Yeah. If you put it down to like an hourly wage, I don't mean it
like an hourly wage. I just mean, yeah. Like, when did you have that moment that you're like,
that our store was, or what we were doing was worthwhile?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it definitely wasn't right away. I mean, I mean for everybody, you know, when you're early on in it, you're figuring things out. And at the same time, I think that before you can charge a decent amount of money for anything, you have to be pretty close to perfect at it. Yeah. You know, I think that there's definitely categories of people. There's the hobbyist type person that can get it by, that can create passable work, but they can't charge for it because it's not good enough.
Yeah.
And then there's the person who thinks that they are good enough and they're charging for it, but they probably shouldn't be. and that's usually that person that's probably learning and starting out and that sort of thing. And then eventually you get to a point where you are really good at it and you're charging for it. And I mean, it mine is probably just so different from everybody else's, because I mean, when I started out and when I opened up my store, I mean, our first thing was doing a lot of car stereo and window tint and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, we were already kind of established from day one because every single person I hired was very, very experienced.
Yeah.
So again, that's a tough one for me to answer because I still haven't figured out my worth.
Yeah.
But each of my employees are worth every single penny that they earn every day.
No, that's awesome. But see, that's the beauty of that question, is because not everybody's going to give the same answer. And, you know, some people have been lucky enough to realize their worth or find their, you know, know what their value is. early on. Mm-hmm. Some people like yourself are still kind of maybe looking for it, you know, maybe they don't think they're quite there yet. And some people maybe have found it and lost it along the way, you know, and have to find it again. So that's what I like about that question, is because no two answers are going to be the same. You know, and then sometimes it just makes people think, like, you know, man, when was that moment, or have I had that moment yet, or whatever.
You're definitely making me think. I mean, yeah. all the early mornings where I get up at 5 a.m. to go to a Cars and Coffee and work 7 days a week nonstop, you know, it makes you wonder at what point is it all worth it?
Right. Exactly. Okay. So this is another one that could potentially stump you. This one's a little more fun. So it's WrestleMania, you know, fight night, whatever you're into. You're heading down to the ring to do battle. What's the song that plays that lets everybody know who you are and pumps you up?
I don't know. I'd probably be going down. I mean, for me, I'm definitely not a serious person. You know, I live life every single day. I just want to have fun every day. Uh-huh. And everybody that works for me knows that I'm like the least serious person. That when I come into the shop, I'm not that boss that just comes in and wants to tell people how to do things or start, you know, I'm the one that's generally coming in and playing pranks on people and things like
right.
that. I mean, if anything, I'd be walking up to the ring, probably in my Speedo, you know, to like right said Fred, I'm too sexy or something.
That's a good one, dude. And I think you, for anybody who's listening and wants to go and stalk Pete's page, I think you just recently posted a beach photo in a Speedo or something like that, didn't you?
I do on occasion do that just to see if people will laugh at me.
So if anybody...
I don't know if you saw it, but I did. Did you see the professional photo shoot I did?
I think I did, yeah.
So yeah, I had a photographer come in, and it was a girl who does like professional like boudoir photography.
Uh-huh.
And I had her photograph me in a Speedo like on top of my cars. And
yes, I did that one I did see. Exactly, yeah.
And yeah. it got some interesting comments.
I'm sure it did. So if anybody wants to see that, you can go search his page. And then this one, this is my smart list question from the Smart List podcast. You're old enough to kind of know the Bewitched show. Mm-hmm. You know, where Samantha used to wiggle her nose, right? So mm-hmm. if you could wiggle your nose and have your business be exactly where you wanted it to be, what would that look like?
That would be overcoming the two hurdles that I have right now, which are getting the next two stores open. And the two biggest things with for me with opening stores, which I would imagine they're comparable to what most people have, and that's real estate. It is, yeah. It's so hard to find the right location. And then when you do, it's often hard to get the city to approve it.
Right.
So that's what I'm battling right now. I mean, my next location is slated to be in Claremont, but I'm dealing with some holdups over there. So if I could wiggle my nose right now, it would be let's get all of the zoning stuff figured out. Let's get this next location up, because I've got two extra stores that I want to have open within the next year and a half. And ultimately, real estate is always the holdup.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, coming from the car wash world, you know, my ex-boss, that's, you know, when they were branching out and starting to add more locations, you know, like that's all he ended up started doing was he would go and find a piece of property, you know, and then he would go sit on it for the day and like watch cars go by, you know, how busy was the traffic on the road? Like how accessible was it? You know, what kind of area was it in, you know, and, you know, every day was, you know,
when you're searching and scouting out locations to open future stores. I mean, you end up doing that for weeks and weeks and months on end. I mean, it took me 3 years to open my second store. which was insane. Now I've learned a lot since then, and I can do it a little bit faster. But and that was all just because I didn't. I think I just kept trying to find the perfect spot, which doesn't exist. I mean, at the end of the day, there's always going to be things that you have to sacrifice one thing for another thing. I mean, there's no such thing as perfect. And
exactly.
Find the one that's going to be good enough for you that you can make perfect for you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, Pete, I definitely appreciate you doing this, especially on short notice. I mean, I know we talked a few weeks back about, you know, trying to get something on schedule. And so I'm glad that you had some free time to fill tonight's episode. So thank you for doing that, man. As always, it's great talking to you. I mean, I know we don't talk a super bunch, but you are probably one of the only local people that I do talk to when I do talk to, because, you know, again, there's no ego there. You know, we definitely have, you know, different business models, and I'm not worried about you. You're not worried about me. Like, you know, it's not like that whole, like, he's going to steal my business kind of thing.
Every detailer was like you, because, you know, like we said earlier, I mean, I wish we could all just get along and coexist.
Yeah.
And there's enough cars for everybody in this world. This community of people, we don't have to act like we hate each other. We can all get along.
Exactly. I think I've even shot a couple of people. I don't know if they ever go your way, but, you know, if people call me for stuff that I can't handle, I'm like, hey, you know, Tent World, you know, those guys over there do all that stuff, you know, go check them out. So, so I appreciate you coming on and doing this, man. It was great to like actually kind of have like a little bit of a sit down and talk. Usually we're just messaging back and forth over the phone. So, thank you so much, man. Absolutely. And, I'm gonna let you go. I mean, if anybody is curious about you, would want to reach out to you, ask questions about Tent World or things like that, what's best way to try to get a hold of you? Facebook, Snapchat.
You can find on Facebook or Instagram. On Instagram, it's just at Pete Muller, and Facebook, you just search for Pete Muller. You can find me pretty easily on there. Send me a message anytime.
Okay. The Speedo pics going on OnlyFans anytime soon or something? You get make a little money on those or whatnot?
That's my real future business model. Is that if I could figure out how to make money off of that.
Right.
When I first posted those, I said to the photographer who was taking those, I was like, you know what? This is my retirement plan. I'm really hoping that I'm going to get this person that's going to be like, oh, we need you. But that definitely didn't happen.
I mean... Listen, we are in Orlando and there is a lot of pride here. So, you know, you might, you know, just get it in a different direction than maybe you would want it from, but
I didn't even get that. I didn't get anything.
Oh, really? I was going to say, as the old saying goes, 20 bucks is 20 bucks, right?
Without a doubt.
Exactly. All right, Pete. Well, listen, man, you have a great night. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks,
and we'll talk soon, man. We need to get together and do a hangout or something.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Well, thanks.
Talk to you later.
Bye, buddy. All right. So that was Pete with Tent World. A little bit different than what we normally do, but hey, that's what I like about this, right? Like we're meeting new people, finding out how they, you know, got into detailing, whether it was, you know, straight into detailing or they came in through PPF and Tent or through Stereo or through whatever. Right. So, what a fun episode. I had a good time with that one. I hope you guys did too. So listen, please, you know, go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you are listening to us. Hope that you guys enjoyed the little bit of the warning at the beginning. Haley had a fun time with that one as well. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And that's it, man. Enjoy the week. Day, night, whatever that you're listening to this, and stay classy, San Diego.